Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Wow. Can't describe how different this is to do this, but welcome to this call. We're going to cover kind of what's going on in the economy, the financial system, and then translate that to the capital markets. And let me kick it off. And then, Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you this time. And so in order to make sense of what's going on, and this is historic, there's no comparison for this. In order to make sense, what we've done is really separate this into three different areas: the impact on the economy, the impact on the financial system, and then ultimately the impact on our capital markets. So from an economic standpoint, let me cover this. This is going to be a long, this actually we think is going to be a longer recovery. It's going to be shorter than coming out of the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009 because of the impairment of the financial system at the time. But this is going to be a longer recovery. And the Fed's response has been very, very fast, and I think it'll be very effective. The fiscal response also, we have a $2 trillion package coming from Congress. It's going to take about 3 weeks to get implemented, but it, again, it's very fast. However, we're going to see an impact in the end of March. It's going to come through the numbers. It's going to be all of April, and then we're going to see it flow through in May. And so we won't see economic growth start to pick up until June would be our guess, just in terms of just getting traction back into the economy. And then, so we've got fiscal policy and monetary policy aligned. Whenever this happens at this aggressive level, 6 months later, financial asset prices are higher. So that's something that we're going to kind of look for. Last week, we saw 3 million people file for unemployment, another historic number. During the financial crisis, the average, I think, it never exceeded 600,000 claims in a week. So the Labor Department releases its numbers this Friday, and they're not going to, I don't think they're going to show the full impact of March, because most of this didn't happen until the last 2 weeks of March. So March going into April, we're going to start to see a real pressure on the employment numbers as it relates to just the economy. So we do not see a V-shaped recovery, but we are going to see economic growth come back in the third and fourth quarter. Many of the services business that were hit the hardest are going to be the slower to come back. And then this is going to impact the commercial real estate market. So think about the restaurant that's closed right now, having to make not only its April rent payment, but then being shut down through April, having to make its May payment. So that's going to impact real estate product that's in the public markets through CMBS, through REITs, and through CDOs. So it's going to have an impact in our credit markets. As it relates to the financial system, our financial system is significantly stronger today. 8% capital supporting the banks. When back in the financial crisis, it was closer to 4%. So, but the financial system's under severe stress. The Fed's implemented several lending programs that are designed to provide support to the financial system, and that includes a backstop for commercial paper and a backstop for repurchase agreements. We actually expect Congress to give the Fed power this week to do direct lending into businesses, cities, and states. So that, again, is unprecedented, but it will help to support the credit markets. But watch for this. Credit quality and underlying collateral is going to deteriorate both in the, we'll see it in the credit markets and then on collateralized securities. So it's going to come through, and we'll talk about this in a bit here. It's going to come through in the capital markets where we start to see credit quality deterioration. But the banks are taking steps to preserve their capital and credit quality. And so ironically, it's time for the 2020 stress test, and we're actually living a scenario that would probably be worse than any stress test scenario that the Fed would come up with. So an ironic twist through the stress test that was developed during the financial crisis. But we expect the banks to come out of this largely unscathed. As volatility subsides and credit spreads tighten, watch for some issuance, I think, in the bank preferred subordinate market is another form of capital to help prop up the banks, especially the smaller banks. So let me stop there. I'm going to turn it over to Adam, and then we'll start to talk about the impact that this is having on the capital markets and an investment strategy. Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So as Greg was talking about not seeing a V-shaped recovery, we can kind of look at a few other countries that have kind of gone through this before we have. So far this year, China was down about the same amount that we were, 30%. But now China has rebounded, but obviously hasn't made back their gains. So still down 15% year to date. Japan, likewise, has already gone through much of the virus spread, and now they're seeing people get back to work. So those markets are down 15%, where U.S. Still down over 20%. And then Europe is really where it's been hit the hardest, with the DAX down 28%. You're actually seeing where Russia and Mexico were down almost 40%. And then same with Australia, who've been hit really hard with the virus, is down 36%. So you're seeing very country-specific around what's happening with the virus affect returns on their stocks. In the fixed income market, treasuries, the ticker TLT, which is 20-year plus treasuries, is up 23% year to date. So really the only performing asset right now is treasuries. But if you look at corporate bonds, investment grade are down 5% year to date, high yield down 12%. And then the worst performing in fixed income is the senior loan index, which is down 15% year to date. We've seen a lot of flows out of fixed income funds this year. Investment grade funds have had seen outflows of $44 billion. That is a record. And then, as I was talking about, the levered loan ETFs have seen outflows that equal 15% of total assets under management. So that has created a lot of dislocation in securities, ETFs that are trading at discounts to their NAV, more than 5% discounts, which is unheard of. Last week, we saw markets rally, but I would argue a lot of that was due to rebalances. So it was widely known that BlackRock and Vanguard were doing the rebalances last week. So I think that really helped push equity markets higher as they were selling fixed income funds, which is what we saw last week with a lot of outflows in fixed income funds, more inflows into equity funds. So I think that was a big driver in a lot of the kind of market technicals that we saw last week. And then to talk about, as Greg was talking about, how it's affecting capital markets, we continue to see a lack of liquidity in fixed income be really the driving story. So last week we were able to buy bonds that were 1 and 2 year bonds, really solid BBB companies at 5 and 6%. And it's not because the company's going out of business in the next year. They have plenty of liquidity, plenty of cash to pay down the debt. Basically, it's a thing of there are forced sellers and there's just not a natural buyer out there. And luckily for us, we were a buyer and able to pick up those bonds. But you're definitely seeing a significant lack of liquidity in the fixed income markets.
So over the next few weeks, the equity market's going to take its cues really from the coronavirus, but then we're going to start to move into the earnings season. We're going to, I think, expect volatility to begin to trade lower unless this pandemic accelerates again. But we would expect vol to come down over the coming weeks leading into summer, which is going to help shift the focus to earnings. So Freddie, anything that you've got on the equity side that pearls of wisdom that you can help kind of guide us right now?
Yeah. So speaking on volatility, last week, still fairly volatile with over 3% moves on 4 of the 5 trading days. But looking at the previous 2 weeks, we had 5% swings on average. So right now it is kind of, I guess, regulating a little bit. Speaking on that Thursday's positive move specifically, regardless of the record-breaking unemployment numbers, really highlighted that a lot of the negative news has been priced into current levels. As you said, jobless claims came in at 3.3 million, and that was versus 282,000 the prior week. So that was good to see. Specifically looking for value in stocks, we believe cloud computing and working from home are now the norm. So we think stocks in this space should see outperformance over the near term. Amazon and Google continue to be great options in this space to weather the storm. These are some of our largest holdings in our large cap blend and our focused growth models. So that's where I'd look.
So we went through this also, Freddie. We were short some laptops. So we went to go to our tech people to order laptops, and they said, get in line. There is a huge demand for laptops and webcams because of the surge of people working from home. So it's. I think that's going to come through some of the numbers. And I agree with you on the cloud computing side. Microsoft released, didn't they release their early numbers for their cloud computing business, and it was up strong. I saw something last week on that.
Yeah, I was seeing triple digit increases in their demand.
So this is normally the part in our morning podcast where we turn it over to Charlie to talk about the Chicago sports update. Charlie, you got anything?
I do not.
This is amazing that there is just no sports to talk about.
Yeah, it's really fun on my weekend.
So is there a sport that you can do like just in isolation that is competitive?
They had UFC fights 2 weeks ago, but that was a little while ago.
Then, because they closed the golf courses in Indianapolis because of the virus, there was a big debate on whether golfing you could actually do this during the coronavirus. There's also a debate that golfing really actually a sport. We won't take that on in this morning call. But back on the bond side, go ahead and repeat that.
I was going to say there was a big celebrity event on Twitch yesterday. With Amazon, where they had celebrities on playing different games versus each other. And it had a ton of viewership and millions.
Yeah. Well, if puzzle making was a sport, my family would be, I think, varsity or playing at almost the pro level. We've done 7 puzzles so far. So transitioning over to the bond side, Charlie, can you talk us through what's going on in credits? Particularly high yield.
Yeah. So the Fed's announcement that it would be buying corporate debt proved to be a little bit effective in both investment grade and high yield markets. They both took a sharp move tighter in terms of spread. Investment grade spread tightened by 60 bips and high yield tightened by 110 bips, with some individual names tightening even more. In investment grade, quality was the winner, with AAAs returning 9.3% and longer duration outperforming short duration. And then in high yield, double Bs were the winner, returning over 5.5%. The one thing of note, really, is that it was a historic week for investment grade new issuance, over $110 billion priced last week. And this was met with huge amounts of demand. So at the base, each issue was oversubscribed by 6 times over. You saw it get as high as 10 times. And that translated well into performance. These offerings tightened by at least 30 bips immediately, and sometimes as much as 60 bips. The immense activity in investment grade, but nothing in high yield. They haven't priced a deal since March 4th.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. We've talked internally about the surge of issuance, and it's heavy, large issuance, and it's coming from companies like Target, ADM, McDonald's, Nike, but it's also coming from the banks, so Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Bank America. They've all had big, large issuance. Some companies have said this is designed to help us to get through the uncertainty of the virus. There's another school of thought that this is just a war chest to buy back stock once the coast is clear sign. How do you look at that? And how does that translate into investment strategy?
As far as the way I see it, really the most interesting thing to me is that those big six banks are issuing out long duration debt, which they haven't done in the past. So you're seeing Citigroup, Bank of America all issue out 30-year debt, where they've mostly just been focused at 10-year. I'm not quite sure what exactly that means, but something of note.
But Freddie, those same stocks are down 40% year to date, right?
Yeah, it's mid-40s, yeah.
Yeah, those bank stocks are down 40% year to date. So their issuance is, you know, they've got capital. So I guess the cynical side is that they're just going to start buying back their stock once the coast is clear. Now, they've got legitimate credit issues they've got to work through right now with the decline in the economy and the rise in delinquencies in the loan portfolio. But it remains to be seen how the federal support programs will support the banks during that period and how they'll use this capital. So go ahead. Charlie, anything else?
Just one little note on high yield. So we've been cautious in adding high yield, but I did see a graph going around that shows high yield bond returns after major event driven sell-offs. So that includes Black Monday, the 1990 recession, 9/11, and Lehman's failure. And so they all had initial drawdown of 7% or over. With the coronavirus, we're at, I think, 16%. And the returns the next 2 years are all over 20%. So not a prediction of the outcome of the coronavirus, but it was just a bit of interesting information that I saw floating around there.
Yeah, you're raising an interesting point, because we've talked about how horizon returns for financial assets are going to be compressed. That was one of our themes starting the year out. And with a dramatic dislocation in prices, it's basically a reset now for expected returns going forward, because we just lived through this dramatic price decline. So that's going to be probably a little bit more generous in terms of expected returns. Adam, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, I think just on that new issuance front, to me, my read is that companies are trying to lock in still really, really low interest rates. I mean, the 10-year is at, 59 basis points right now? So my thought is they're issuing here. Still the cost of the debt is tremendously low. So why not go ahead and issue even more spreads wide?
Yeah, Freddie, on the models, anything to report on what we're thinking on models this week?
In large cap blend, focused growth, probably continuing to add to cloud positions that we feel will show some strength in the near term. But
thinking about right now. Okay. So the closing thought that we've talked about democracy and capitalism, over the last 10 years since the financial crisis. And so really this is a long-term issue that we're wrestling with, but what we look at is the evolution of our form of democracy and capitalism and the impact that it has on investment strategies. And with this type of government support, that's actually unprecedented, absolutely unprecedented in peacetime. And the impact that it has on our fiscal position. I mean, this is 1/10 of our total fiscal debt that was just this package, the $2 trillion, it's just huge. So it's that type of support for our economy is rationalizing that in this whole this our form of democracy. And it's not a judgment issue at all. It really is the government intervention post financial crisis has increased. So the whole look towards democratic socialism, or I don't want to say that we're in a socialistic society, but to look at it and say, wow, we've got this government backstop. Is it always going to be there now? Because in the 70s, you know, when you go back to post World War II, we didn't really have that much in terms of government backstop. And it was debated heavily during the financial crisis as how much support the government would provide for the financial system. And ultimately, it provided the TARP system, which was very successful. So it's going to be interesting to see as we work through this, how history processes this, and then what it means to our form of capitalism. So with that, let me close this down, and you guys have a great week. Be safe, and we'll talk with you next week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.